All right, our theme for this week is stewardship, and you guys were in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9 in that general vicinity, and you were looking at some amazing stewardship, right? What was going on there? There's this group of people, I believe they're Macedonians, and these people were giving. There was a need, and they gave. The Bible says they gave beyond their ability to give. Right? So really, I need this to pay my bills, and really, I need this to feed my children, and really, I need this to do X, Y, Z for my family. But there's a need, and so I'm going to give above really what I have the ability to give. So it shows the heart of stewardship. The heart of stewardship is generosity, right? So that was our morning study was built around that. We'll not talk that same position. Hopefully we can help just kind of emphasize help those two really partner together to create a good theme as we leave here today. So we're going to be in Matthew 25. If you want to go ahead and turn there. The text is on the wall, and it's also in your bulletin, so you can follow along there if you'd like. But we're going to read a familiar story of a manager and some servants, a master and some servants, and we'll be there in just a minute. But when you think of the word steward, what do you think of? How would you define steward? Ma'am? A leader, all right?
Manager.
A manager. A caretaker. Anybody else? Steward? Well, those are perfect, right? Those are all in line with what we're talking about here this morning. So, do you understand today, as believers, you are leaders, you are managers, we are managers, and we are caretakers, okay? And so what we're looking at today is how do all those really work in our life, and how is that supposed to be played out as we live here? So, there's only one person today that noticed something. And I don't know if that's good or bad. Anybody notice anything different here today? Yes. There's not as many people here, that's for sure. All right, we are definitely closer. And by the way, this is beautiful to me, right? And I don't just throw that out just as words. When God's people come together and they want to sit and worship together, that goes deep for me. I mean, that looks like a family, that people care and that they're interested and they've come together for a reason. So we are sitting closer together. Anything else? Anything that's really not very significant? Maybe pastor-related? Appearance-related?
You got your haircut?
Thanks for noticing. And no, I didn't. Good try. All right, so I'm going to let the cat out of the bag here, all right? My shirt is messed up. Can you tell? It's not inside out. It is that ugly. It's the way it's supposed to look. People in my own home didn't notice this morning. All right, so here's the deal. You see how it's not buttoned correctly? See how this collar is all out of kilter? Maybe I just look rough all the time. You look normal, Pastor. Didn't notice. Well, have you ever done this before? You know, and you get to the bottom or the top, however you button, and it's all out of whack, and you're like, oh, how did that happen? And sometimes you do it and do it again, and you do the same thing over again. Like, oh, I'm stuck in a rut today of messing up my buttons. Right? Well, when you start in the wrong spot, then everything else gets out of alignment, right? And it just looks messed. Now you're going to be staring at my shirt the whole rest of the time. Oh, we need to just pack up. Bless the word and pack up. Well, the same thing is true when it comes to stewardship. If we don't start where the Bible starts with stewardship, it's kind of like having a shirt like this as our life. Our life just gets all kind of out of alignment and ends up being a mess. It gets messed up. And so we want to try to have a proper perspective today of what it means to be a steward, a leader, a caretaker, a manager. And then how can we walk out of here living as people trying to steward the things that the Lord has blessed us with? And so that'll be our heading this morning. That's where we're trying to move. The title today is Entrusted to Invest, and we'll hope to answer or define some principles around that thought. So if you've got your Bible, we're going to go to Matthew 25, and here we find Jesus is talking about his return. You'll find this also in Matthew 24. He's coming back, and so with that in mind, there are some things that should play into how we do life here. And so in these verses, we're going to read about how we're to use what he's entrusted to us, how to invest what's been entrusted. So Matthew 25, we're going to go verses 14 through the end of that chapter. Oh, no, rather just through verse 30, I'm sorry. Matthew 25, verse 14 begins, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another he gave 1, to each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey." So you've got the master giving his servants, he's entrusting some of his resources to them. Some of your translations will say he gave them 5 bags of gold, 2 bags of gold, 1 bag of gold. He's entrusted his resources to these servants. And then the manager goes on a journey. All right, verse 16. "Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded them and made another 5 talents. And likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground, and he hid his Lord's money. And so after a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And so he had received 5 talents, came and brought 5 other talents, saying, 'Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I've gained 5 more talents besides them.' And his Lord said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. Now I'll make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord.' He also had received 2 talents, came and said, 'Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. And look, I've gained 2 more talents besides them.' And his Lord said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things, and I'll make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord.' And then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, 'Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you've not sown and gathering where you've not scattered seed. And I was afraid, so I went and hid your talent in the ground. And look, there you have what is yours.' But his Lord answered and said to him, 'You wicked and lazy servant. You knew that I reap where I've not sown and gather where I've not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers. And at my coming, I would have received back my own with interest. Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.'" And so this morning, I'm trying to look through this idea of stewardship, and that God takes it very serious, and so his people should take it serious as well. And that's what we're going to attempt to work through here this morning. 3 things we'll note if you're following along in your bulletin today. You don't have to, but you can. It's there just to aid memory and just maybe to reflect on throughout your day or week here this coming week. So let's note 3 things as we progress here this morning. First is this. As stewards, we are entrusted with God's resources. All right. As stewards, 1, we are entrusted with God's resources. And so what we read in our text today is, the servants only have what the master gave them. So it's not in addition to something they already have. All they're working with is that talent or that gold, right? Because when they come and give the report, they said, "I had 5, now I've got 5 more. You gave me 5, and now I've got 5 to return. Or you gave me 2, and now I've got 2 to return." So we see they only are working with what they had been entrusted with by their master. And so who's the master here in this text? Right, so the master would be God, or it'd be Jesus. Who are the servants? All right, the Christians. And so that's the context of this story here. You've got the master, Jesus, distributing to his servants, us, resources, and he is entrusting them to us. So the bottom line of this really is, all we have, we owe to Christ. Everything that we have, we owe to Christ. And so let's go back to our text here, verses 14 and 15, Matthew 25. And we'll see this. It says, "Again, it would be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and he entrusted his wealth to them." Okay? So he entrusted. Who has the wealth? All right, Jesus, the master. And he's entrusting it to whom? The servants who are his Christians, those who belong to him. Verse 15, "To one he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags, to another 1 bag, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey." Right, so we're trying to just establish here initially that everything we have has come from Jesus. And so that's what he's saying here. We're the master, or he's the master, we're the servant, what we have belongs to him. And really, it's always been this way, right? It's been this way since day one. Genesis 1:1, what's it tell us? In the beginning, what happened? God created. Okay? In the beginning, God created, which is to say, everything that has been created belongs to whom? Belongs to God. So here's how this works. Anything that you and I can create out of nothing, we are more than willing or more than welcome to keep as our own. Anything we can create out of nothing can be yours. And so what is that? Nothing. Okay? Everything that we're going to create starts with something else. We need other ingredients. And so we need to understand we've been entrusted, and that should have some impact on our mind. And really here initially, we're dealing with the mind. We'll deal with the heart in a minute, but we're dealing with the mind right now. So God has absolute rights of ownership, right? He has absolute rights of ownership. Everything is His. He's simply entrusted it to us. But when we don't have this proper perspective, our lives look like this shirt. Now, maybe it's not that noticeable like it wasn't here, but there was one who noticed, right? And this individual worked to try to correct, hey, you got something wrong with your shirt there. Let me help you out. That's how it should be, right? There will be a mess, and we need people to come alongside us who can help identify our issues. So if we don't line up here initially that everything belongs to God, the rest of our life will be a struggle, right? The rest of our life, we'll struggle with our resources, we'll struggle with our time, we'll struggle with how to commit ourselves to different things or people, relationships. Everything is from the Lord. And so it's important then we search after Him and try to understand, why have you given us what you've given us? David also had these same thoughts in Psalm 24:1. You guys kind of help me out here. It says, the earth is whom? The earth is the Lord's and what? And everything in it. So everything in it belongs to whom? The Lord's. So everything here is His. And then he goes on to say, the world and all what? Who live in it. So the earth is the Lord's, all the stuff is the Lord's, all the people, everything here is the Lord's. Right? So this is His world, we just get to play in it. It all belongs to Him. Every resource on this planet is His. So having a right view of stewardship is very important because we don't want to walk around looking like this. We don't want to live a Christian life thinking we're honoring the Lord and really we're just a mess. And so it starts with the mind. There's nothing that I have that I do not, there's nothing that I have that is my own credit. Everything must be forwarded to God. So He's formed me, He's fashioned me, He's gifted me, He's equipped me. Everything that I have is His. So you name it. Anything we can name belongs to the Lord. The only thing that I have that's mine is what? Any ideas? Three-letter word starts with S and ends with N. Sin. The only thing that I can have is my own claim is that I have sin. God doesn't have sin. That has my name written all over it. Everything else belongs to the Lord. So when we think of stewardship, what do we usually think of? What's the realm of thinking? If I were to say we're going to talk about stewardship today, you would say we're going to be talking about money or being a good role model. Okay, that's good. Yeah, but usually when people talk stewardship, maybe they think of a stewardship campaign or a capital campaign. So we're always trying to think about money. Does stewardship involve money? Absolutely. Is stewardship all about money? No. That's just one little part of being a steward. So there's a lot more that we're going to talk about here this morning. So I'm to steward my body, right? Did I give myself this body? No. David said, I saw you in your mother's womb and I knit you together. Who's the I that knit me together? God. And so He has given me this body. He has given me this resource. And so it's my job not to own it. It's my job to manage it, to take care of it, to steward it. And so that's one thing that we're to steward or one thing that's been entrusted to us. Our mind has been entrusted to us. That's why the Bible says, guard your mind, right? It's important that we take care of what we put in. Because what we put in typically does what? Comes out. Now, it's just like that old expression, garbage in, garbage out. Right? We think that we can monitor or we can view things or listen to stuff that's not good or it's not God-honoring, it's not good for us, and think it won't affect us. It's just crazy. So I promise you, you listen to music that has a lot of foul language in it, the next time you stub your toe, you're going to say what? Oh, don't say it. But you're going to think it. Because it's been planted there. I mean, that mind is sharp, it's crisp, it hangs on to things, and some things it hangs on to forever. And so He says, guard it, protect it, because I've entrusted it to you. Take care of what I've blessed you with. We're to guard our soul. We're to guard our spiritual gifts. We're to guard and take care of our talents. We're to guard and take care of our abilities, our money, yes, time, opportunities. Even the gospel, we are to steward. Okay? Even the gospel, even the word of God, God has entrusted it to us so that we would steward it well. So any resource we have is from the Lord. Right? We've got to start there. And so here's the thing. We can talk the rest of this message and walk out of here and totally miss it if we don't buy in, not because I say so, but because the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. Do I really believe that everything that I have has come from God? Or do I want to claim it as my own? Right? There's going to be a struggle there if I tend to claim it as my own and try to say that I love God. So here's kind of a bottom line issue here between owners and stewards. Owners have rights. Owners have rights. Stewards have responsibilities. Owners have rights. Stewards have responsibilities. So temporarily you own a home, you own a car. And so if I come to take your home or car from you, could you take me to court? You could. Why? Because it's yours and because you have rights to what's yours. It's temporarily yours, right? And truth of the matter is everything is the Lord's and all the people, all the stuff, it all belongs to Him. This world is His. We just get to be a part of it, all right? So owners have rights. They get to determine things. Stewards have responsibilities. And so it's my role to look at God's stuff that He's blessed me with and see how I'm supposed to use that, which leads us then to our second point here this morning. So as stewards, we've been entrusted with God's resources, but secondly here, as stewards, we're going to use them, and we are to use them, these resources for His purposes. Use God's resources for God's purposes. So to say it simply would be this: we have been entrusted with these resources for God's purposes. And we'll try to put some meat on that bone here this morning. Two people in our text understood that, didn't they? Two people in the text understood, God has given me this, and I'm to use it for Him. We don't read, God's given me this, now it's party time, and I'm going to use it however I want. No, we see that they had what they had, and they were going to use it for God's purposes. So let's go back and read that text, verses 16 to 18 there in Matthew 25. It says, the man who had received 5 bags of gold, he went out when? He went out at once, right now. And he put his money to work, and he gained 5 more bags. So also, verse 17, so also the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more, verse 18. But the man who had received 1 bag went off. He dug a hole in the ground, and he hid his master's money. And so the one who had been given 5 and the one who had been given 2 looked at that as, this has been given to me by God, and I'm going to use it for God. Okay? And so if I see what I have as mine, then I'll start claiming rights over it. This is my money, and I get to decide how it's spent. This is my time, and I get to decide how I spend it. This is my body, and I'll decide what I want to do with it. You see the difference between being an owner and being a steward? If we fail to see everything we have is given to us by God, then we're not going to use what we've received for God's purposes, or we'll have tight fists, or we'll begrudge when we give. Whatever it is that we're giving. So these guys took what had been entrusted to them and they used it for the master's benefit. Let's go to verse 20 and we'll see this here as it's played out. It says, the man who had received 5 bags of gold, he brought the other 5. Master, he said, you what? All right, you have given to me, you entrusted me with 5. And so this guy knows that everything is the Lord's. You gave me 5 and it's been entrusted to me. You didn't give it to me and say, here, it's yours. You gave it to me so that I would invest it, so that I would use it to build your kingdom. I would use it for your purposes. You've given me 5, entrusted me with 5, and see, I have gained 5 more. So I want you to think about it just for a moment. What has God entrusted us with that we are using for His purposes? You don't have to answer that to me, but I want you to answer that to yourself. If everything you have is given to you by God, out of everything that we have, what are we actually using for God's purposes? Are you using your mind for God's purpose? Are you using your money? Are you using your time? Are you using the gospel? What are you using? What am I using for God's purposes? And so we think about money. Let's just talk about money for a minute. How much of what we are receiving are we then investing in God's purposes? Now, I don't answer that for you, and you don't answer that for me. And by the way, I have no idea who gives what, and I'll never know, right? You give, a cheerful giver, as God places on your heart, and we do the same thing. But as a cheerful giver, I need to look in my own heart and see, is this really all that God requires of me? Or why am I giving this but hanging on to this? Do you know what the percentage is the average Christian invests in godly things, God's purposes? You might have a guess.
2 to 5%.
Yeah, you can count it on one hand. Right? Average speaking, across the board, Christians give 2%. 2% of their financial resources to the kingdom. They invest it. So what are we doing with the other 98%? Right? So some of them are paying bills. And listen, I'm not saying that at all. God has blessed us with a mind, a body, the ability to work so we could earn and take care of our needs. Right? But somewhere along the way as well, I just wonder, personally speaking, am I investing in things that don't really matter for eternity with what's left over? Whether that's a dollar, can I be frivolous with a dollar? Can I be frivolous with 10,000? Whatever's left over. Am I investing that in things that will matter, or am I investing that just for things that are personal? Again, it goes back to being either an owner or a steward. If I view it as ownership, it's my money, I'll spend it how I want, Pastor, leave me alone. If it's steward, no, what does God say about it? I want to use what He's given me to further His kingdom and for His purposes. So what are you doing? What am I doing with the resources in the area of money that He's invested with us? What about your time? What about your time? What are we doing that demonstrates that our time matters as it relates to God's kingdom? Are we investing in things that matter forever? Or is most of our time spent on things that really don't matter? Unfortunately, I could quote for you many episodes from the TV show Friends. And I don't think God's going to ask me for any one-liners in heaven. And so how much time? Maybe Friends is not your show. Maybe it's a Western, or maybe whatever it is. Or maybe it's music, or maybe it's your favorite book. I don't know what it is. I'm just saying, everything that He's given us here matters. And He wants us to use it for His purposes. And so how well are we investing our time? And we could go through every resource here, and we won't do that this morning, but I do want to talk about the gospel for a minute. How well are we stewarding what's been entrusted to us? And so what is the gospel? The gospel is two words. Good news. And what's the good news? The good news is that there's someone who takes care of our bad news. Right? Maybe we need to pause here for a minute, because the gospel matters in a massive way. Right? If we can't articulate the gospel, then we've got to start right there. And so the gospel is good news. What makes it good news is that there's bad news. The bad news is I have rights to one thing, and that thing is my sin. And as a sinner, I've been separated from God. God can't deal with sin. Holiness has no place with sinfulness or impurity. And so there's been this separation. However, God wasn't willing to leave us separate from Him. And so He gave purity. His name is. He gave Jesus to die to pay the price for my sin so that there could be an exchange. I'll take your sin, and in exchange, I'll give you my holiness. I'll give you my purity. I'll give you my righteousness. And now there can be a relationship with God once again. And that's the only way that happens. So it's not by investing our money, how much time we spend in prayer, what people think of us. It's all through Jesus, or it's not at all. And so the gospel, the good news, is that I don't have to stay separated from God here. The gospel, the good news, is that I don't have to spend eternity separated from God in a place the Bible calls hell, where Jesus outlines here is a place where there's outer darkness, complete darkness, and weeping and gnashing of teeth. No one's planning on doing that today, right? Oh, it's my day off. I'm going to put all the blinds down, turn out all the lights, and I'm going to cry real hard, and I'm just going to gnash my teeth all day. No one plans for that. We need to plan for that as it relates to eternity. Right? It's important. It matters. And that's why Jesus is talking about it here. So the gospel has three parts. Jesus was crucified. Jesus was buried. We do this in baptism. And then Jesus was resurrected. Okay? So on the cross, He pays the price for sin. Through death, He defeats sin. And then from the resurrection, we get victory over sin. And we get this new life. And so we've got to be able to paint the gospel for people. And so how well are we stewarding the gospel? Paul says to his letter in the Corinthians, God has entrusted me with this gospel. And so that's why I share it. I don't own it. I'm just a manager. I'm a caretaker. I'm somebody who's supposed to disperse it. And so when you think about the people in your world, and I think about the people in my world, how well are we stewarding the gospel? How well are we letting people know about the good news? All right, so the gospel is very important. So just thinking through different resources that God has given us here, are we using those for His purposes? You know what the statistic is? The average number of Christians who share their faith? You can count it on one hand, and it's the same number we said earlier. 2%. Right? Now that's just a statistic, right? In this room it could be 100%. How many Christians has God entrusted the gospel to? 100%, which means 100% should be dispersing the gospel. See, I may just be looking at the gospel as an owner, like I have rights to it. It's set me free and give me salvation. It's all about me. The gospel is supposed to change me, but it's supposed to go from me to other people. And so you talk across the fence. You talk with a coworker. You talk with a son or daughter. You talk with a parent. You talk with a neighbor. You talk with a stranger. Had a guy pull up here, one of the oddest conversations I had Friday. And he just wanted to talk about the Lord. It's like, man, that's just travels the country, lives out of his car, didn't need a thing. So I just wanted to share some scripture with you, wanted to bless you. And we talked through scripture for a little bit, and he got in his car and he's left. Prayed for you. He prayed for our church. Went on his way. I thought, man, that's stewarding the gospel. You know, now everybody's not called to live out of their car and travel this country to do that. But he took seriously his call to steward the gospel. And so what's that look like for you and I? How do we flesh that out? I don't want to be part of the 98% that doesn't share their faith. True? And so there's all sorts of things we could work through there, and we will later. But for today, we're just trying to understand everything we've been given is to be stewarded from us. So the gospel is not just for us. It's something to pass on to others. And so we talked about the mindset. The mindset is important. I'm a steward. I'm not an owner. But now we get to the heart of the matter where how I steward things proves what I value. How I steward things proves what I value. And so if I hang on to my money and I'm not willing to use it, then that proves that I value money more than I value whom? More than I value God. And what I hang on to also proves what I trust in. So if we're out here swimming, somebody throws you in and you can't swim, and we can throw you a dollar bill or a $100 bill or a life jacket, which one do you want? You want the life jacket, right? Because a $100 bill is not going to do you any good. So what are we putting our trust in? We've been put here to live and honor God, and sometimes we hang on to our selfishness, our own desires and our own dreams, rather than letting that fade and hanging on to the Savior, the one that we need, using what He's given us for His purposes or His glory. And so it's important just to think those things through. Everything we have comes from God. What does how you steward these things and how I steward these things, what's it revealing about your heart? You have open hands? You have time? Now, I love when Solomon says, God has created things simple and we've made things very complicated. I was talking with Miss Christine here this morning just about how busy life is, and we aren't doing anything. I mean, we are, but we haven't got into all the stuff we could be doing. Like, man, how crazy will life be then? And so you guess we've got to be really purposed, intentional in how we live life. Otherwise, it'll just get away from us, and we won't invest what we've been entrusted with. So if God is the owner, it makes sense that I ask Him, what do you want me to do with what you've given me? Right? What do you want me to do with what you've given me? Think about, let's say you were dog sitting for a neighbor and they were going to be gone for a week. Wouldn't you want to ask them, hey, how do I take care of this animal? What do you want me to do? So what time does it get out? What kind of food do you feed it? How long do you let it stay out? When do you put it back in? You take it for a walk? You want me to bathe it? We'd want to know all the details about that, right? Because when that person comes back from their journey, we want a living dog. We don't want to say, well, I didn't ask you. I didn't know I was supposed to feed it. I figured you put out enough water, so I didn't do any watering. Oh, you're supposed to let it out? That's why your house stinks. I'm sorry. You know, we want to know. So if we really want to know, we should be asking. And asking means we're seeking. What do you say about what you've put in my hands? How am I supposed to use it? All right? Everything I have is from the Lord. Everything is to be used for his purposes. And then third here this morning, what will be the reality for everyone sitting here and everyone who's ever took a breath on this planet is that as stewards, we're all going to be accountable to God for what we do with what he has given us. We are all accountable to God for what we do with what he has given us. So how many servants were there in our text today? Three servants. All right. They all knew the master would return. They all knew the master was setting out on a journey. And therefore, they were all to begin immediately using. I love that in that text right there. They started at once. At once. Here's what you've received. Now go. Boom. And they took off and they were investing it. Two of them did. One didn't. But for all three came a day of accounting. Right? So two invested, one didn't. But for all of them, they faced the same procedure. So let's go to verse 19. Matthew 25, verse 19 says, after a long time, the master of those servants returned, and what's he do? He's going to settle accounts with them. And so here we see Jesus is expecting from us that one day we are going to have a conversation just as they did about what we've been given, just as they did with what they were given. So God's entrusted these resources into our care, and our resources different? Right, so we have different resources. We have different salaries. We have different types of bodies. We have different mind capabilities. We have different gifts. We have different ways that we use our time. But we all have resources. And for every one of us, we're going to give an account for what we have done with what we've been given. Now, do I give an account for something that I don't have? Did the two-talent guy come into his meeting with the master and go, man, I only had two talents. You gave Joe over here five. So I can only give you two. No, he rejoiced that he had two. And he said, I'm going to take what you've given me. That's my lot, my position, my place. And I'm going to go out and I'm going to invest it in your purposes. And so he was delighted that he could come back and give something to his master. Joyful account, right? Both those guys were, the first two were joyful accounts. The third one, that was a little different story. So I don't give an account for what I don't have. Nor will I give an account for you. And so I'm not going to plead your cause. I'm not going to stand over there and say, now, Jesus, you didn't understand that, you know, they like to play video games all day, every day. So they didn't have time. You don't understand they had a gambling problem, and so they invested all their money in slots, and they never won anything, but they tried to live life and be happy. I can't stand and plead your case. You can't plead mine. Thankfully, we have someone who is pleading ours. The only one who can, and that's Christ. And so I won't give an account for what I don't have. I won't give an account for my wife or my children. They won't for me either. I won't for my church family. You won't for me either. But I will give an account, just as you will, and it'll be an account for ourselves. And so this should cause us to be greatly interested then in these resources. I want you to think about it. If today's your day, you're going to sit down across a table from Jesus and have a conversation about what you've done with what you've given him, are you ready for that conversation? Are we like the first two guys, like, man, I've tried to use everything you've given me for your glory? Are we more like the other guy who went and buried it because he was lazy? He didn't want to invest in Christian work. He just wanted to do his own thing. Masters are gone. What do they say? While the cat's away. And so the master went away, and so this guy's just living life large. He's not worried about doing anything for the master. Here you go. Here's what you gave me. I didn't lose it. Well, yeah. You're about to lose it in a big way. Right? It was taken from him, and he was cast into outer darkness, as we described earlier. And so this should cause us, church friends here, to be very interested in what we have in our hands. I don't know how that'll work in heaven. I really believe God will have a spreadsheet for me that will outline every penny I've ever been given. This is the amount of money that you've had to your name. What have you done with it, Corey? And I think he'll have a nice pie chart for me which shows all the ways that I invested in things that didn't matter whatsoever. I just pray as my time here continues that pie chart, that piece of the pie keeps expanding. Because I want to invest in things that matter forever. I don't want to give an answer for things that were just frivolous or just wasteful. How'd you spend your time? We're going to give an account for that. How'd you spend my gospel? Did you entrust it to people who could teach it? And did you share it with people who needed it? How did you take care of your body? All these kinds of things I know we're going to give an account for because Scripture says so. So for the first two servants, they were delighted. The third servant, he didn't trust. And his life was ruined. And so everything God has put in our hands, we're going to give an account for. And so are you ready for that accounting meeting? Are we ready for that? You know, the American dream is bigger and better, right? Bigger, better, more. The only thing is the text doesn't support that. So we want to be vigilant in using what we've been given for the Master's purposes. So I just want to ask you here as we begin to close, how well are you investing what you've been given? How well are you investing? How well are you using it? How well am I using it? Has God blessed your life? Right, He has. We're very blessed. And so in return, we've been blessed to be a blessing to other people. And so is what's coming to me actually flowing through me? Am I living to accomplish His work? Like, is His purpose center stage in my life, or is it kind of a backstage idea? So I just want to challenge each of us today to think these things through a little bit. Think about what God's blessed you with, and then think about what are you going to do in return? How will you use the resources that God has put in your hands? How will I use them? There's a guy by the name of David Livingston, and this is kind of his response to this idea. Maybe yours would be similar. He says, I place no value on anything I have or may possess. I place no value on anything I have or may possess except in relation to the kingdom of God. So what gives my money value is that I can invest it in kingdom work. What gives my time value is that I actually have time to spend for kingdom work. What gives this body value is that I can take care of it to honor the Lord, or it gives me the ability to walk or to talk or to be able to serve people, to love somebody by being able to help out. And so I take care of my body because it's kingdom work. I place no value on anything I have or possess except in relation to the kingdom of God. If anything will advance the interests of His kingdom, if anything will advance the interest of His kingdom, then it shall be given or it shall be kept only as by my giving or keeping I shall promote the glory of Him to whom I owe all my hopes in time of eternity. Did you catch that? That's really the summary of the message today. The only thing that gives money value is kingdom. The only thing that gives people value is kingdom. The only thing that gives me value is kingdom. And I'll spend it or keep it in whatever ways God has purposed for me to invest in His kingdom. And if that brings Him glory, that's my goal. See, anybody in the room want to stand before God as servant number three? I don't think we do. We want to hear what the first two heard. What'd they hear? All right, well done, good and faithful servant. All right, to hear well done, good and faithful servant means you and I have to be good and faithful servants. God's not a liar. You know, He's not trying to puff us up. Oh, you're so good, when really we're just not been good at all. To hear well done requires us to be doing well. To hear you've been faithful requires us to be faithful. And so I pray for you and I ask you pray for me. We try to direct each other in ways that really matter as we use what God has given us, stewarding these resources because we've been entrusted to invest.